Dateline, October 1981. Hell is empty, and all the devils are here. Do you believe hell is real? I grew up in a non-Christian household, so I viewed the existence of a bad place where people go after they die as just another popular myth, similar to Santa Claus, the Easter Bunny, and White Jesus. It's not like I viewed stories from the Torah as any less fallible than those from the Bible, but at no point did any adult in my life teach me that these tall tales were factual, so I could hold hell at arm's length and evaluate it as a concept. It scared me, but not in the way that dying scares me, which it very much does. I was but a wee child in 1981 when Tempest arrived in arcades, but it scared me. It's a shooter, but unlike any shooter I had seen before. The player controls a yellow crab-like craft that moves around the screen on a fixed path. That path is a series of lines which vanish into the distance, giving the appearance that the player is teetering along the edge of a giant pit. There is movement at the heart of the pit as things make their way outward. The player must fire shots into the center to destroy whatever is trying to emerge. Victory means the player flies into the hole to reach the next pit, which is a different shape than the last. Unlike Hell, I could see Tempest was very real, and the gameplay lent credence to the idea that an underworld full of horrors exists beneath our feet. Furthermore, I had no idea what Tempest meant, and I certainly did not know the Shakespeare play. So given the context of the cabinet artwork, I surmised Tempest was synonymous with Inferno or Abyss, and signified an evil place where demons spawn before invading our world. Realistically, the drawings on the side of the machine did a lot of the heavy lifting, as the objects in Tempest are all simple shapes that do not resemble any monsters or even animals. However, this was par for the course in arcade games of the era. Midway's American promotional art for Space Invaders presented the interstellar threat as ferocious beasts, but on screen they looked more like seafood. Missile Command's missiles were just dots, barely a pixel wide. Berserk's killer robots looked like R2 units with limbs. An evil Otto was a literal smiley face, but that didn't stop me from viewing them with fear in my heart. Tempest's unique look was not just tied to its odd perspective, but also its full-color vector graphics. Older games such as Asteroids and Battlezone had previously used primitive monochrome lines to create their on-screen images, but Tempest did so with bright colors, an essential innovation given how crucial it is for players to see and distinguish enemies from a distance. Vector graphics also make it possible for everything on screen to seamlessly scale outwards, creating an illusion of depth crucial to the immersive experience. Tempest designer and programmer Dave Toyer was the main creative force behind the game, initially pitching the project as a first-person take on Space Invaders. According to a 1995 interview, Toyer got the game working just fine, but there were two problems. First, it was too much like Space Invaders, perhaps an inevitability given the concept. Second, it wasn't much fun, a significantly larger problem for a video game. With cancellation looming, Toyer came up with a twist, wrapping the playfield around a tube and turning it into a pit. Just as Toyer's first game, Missile Command, drew inspiration from nuclear annihilation anxiety, Tempest was also tied to his personal fears. He reportedly told management, quote, "I've got this nightmare I have where monsters are coming out of a hole in the ground and I've got to kill them before they get to the surface and kill me." End quote. This version proved to be more entertaining, especially with a rotary controller to spin the player's flipper around the pit. That too required some fine tuning. I first tried rotating the tube instead of the flipper, but that made everybody want to puke. Plus, it was a lot more work, Toyer said. Tempest is a challenge to play, more so than many of its contemporaries. The nature of the pit and the division of the playfield into lanes restrict the player's movements and shots. Even with rapid fire, keeping the enemies at bay is difficult. And since the player can only shoot down, any creatures which reach the outside edge of the pit are much harder to repel. There are also spikes laid inside the pit that can cost the player one life as they travel downwards to the next stage. Tempest's distinctive qualities created a problem when it came time to bring the arcade experience home, as no consoles were able to do the color vector graphics justice. I put many more hours into Space Invaders, Missile Command, and Berserk on our Atari 2600 than I did in arcades, but I could only play Tempest on original hardware. By the time a home port became feasible in the late 1980s, the game landscape had changed. Tempest was no longer cutting edge, and fewer people were interested in a retro experience chasing high scores when 8 and 16-bit games offered deeper, longer adventures. Tempest inspired sequels, both literal and spiritual, yet never shed its enigmatic reputation. As a result, Tempest occupies a place in my mind that few arcade games can. It scared me, I remember it well, but I never got used to it. It never became familiar. I'm a grown adult now, and games have come a long way, so it takes a lot more to frighten me than geometric shapes emerge from a pit. But Tempest retains a mysterious air all these decades later. Born from a nightmare, filled with tension, it always caught my eye but never truly made sense to me. And we always fear that which we do not understand. Thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. My name is Diamond Fight, and you can follow me on Twitter and Twitch at FEITCLUB. Good night!